Yay! Oh my gosh, it's so fun to be back here with you, Zoe. It's been a little while. Lots have been going on in your life, having made quite a few transitions. And I think that's really true of a lot of people on the planet right now. This is a time for a lot of change. And we're going to explore a little bit about what's going on. Saturn just moved into Aries a couple 3 days ago, I think it was. And from at the time of this recording, and is catching up to Neptune. Now, Saturn and Neptune are both going to go back into Pisces and then back into Aries, and then they're going to meet at zero Aries at the beginning point, the alpha point of everything, in February of 2026. But they're doing this very close dance the rest of this year, and coming up on the June solstice, when the sun is at zero Cancer, on the galactic cross at the galactic edge, something that can only happen every 26,000 years for a time period. So, if we look at the short window, it's from 1962 to 2034. If we look at the longer window, it's 1926 to 2070, that the sun is at this center point or on this cross. And it's also at the center of the sacred hoop of stars, something that was very important to many native tribes, especially the Lakota. And what they felt like whenever planets were in this sacred hoop of stars, it was very auspicious. Jupiter has been there for a while since it entered Taurus and went through Gemini, and now is entering Cancer on June 20th or 21st, depending on your time zone, and will be there for another year-ish before it leaves the sacred hoop. So it's this big hoop of stars that's pretty amazing, and it's at the galactic edge, looking out beyond our galaxy. So seeing beyond, it's also considered to be an entrance point into this reality.
Wait, the transit is supposed to be an entrance into this reality?
No, that part of the sky is supposed to be an entrance. The Milky Way goes right through there, the band of the Milky Way, and the band of the ecliptic, the path of planets, or the plane of the solar system intersects with the plane of the galaxy. And the path of the Milky Way has been seen as the celestial highway, the river of stars. It's like, so you can enter from another realm, another dimension into this reality through that portal, through that gateway. And especially when the sun happens to be there at the solstice. And in the northern hemisphere, when that's the longest day of the year, and in the southern hemisphere, it's the shortest. The reason is because the sun in the northern hemisphere is tracking high across the sky, so it's in the sky longer. And in the southern hemisphere, it's tracking low across the sky, so it's in the sky shorter. That's just a little quick summary of all that. Anyway, so Jupiter is going across that galactic cross on June 9th, Mercury on June 8th. Mercury and Jupiter conjunct on June 8th, and then shortly after, Mercury goes into Cancer on that cross. Then the next day, Jupiter is on that cross. They're still very close together, Mercury and Jupiter. And then on the 20th or 21st, the Sun comes across that point at the center point, like the cross inside the hoop of stars. So the sacred hoop is a circle with a cross in it. So this is just so magnificently amazing. So that's every solstice. Every solstice has the sun on the cross, but this solstice has Jupiter and Mercury on the cross before the sun gets there. So it's like activating the cross. And Jupiter will be at 2 degrees Cancer on the day of the exact solstice. And so it's really close. It's still very close to the cross. Like Jupiter and the sun are very close together. And a few days later, Jupiter and the sun conjunct. So the activation, there's a powerful activation happening because Jupiter happens to be there and Jupiter expands. What's the possibilities? What's the vision? What's the possibilities? And in Cancer, it's like, how are we creating a more nurturing, loving, kind, caring world that is safe for everyone, not just a few, but everyone? It just so happens that the Sun and Jupiter are also square. Neptune and Saturn that are at the first degrees of Aries. And Saturn just went into Aries, and Neptune went into Aries in March. And that was the first time Neptune had been in Aries since 1862. And this is the first time Saturn's been in Aries since 1996. So these are rare alignments, and it's the first time Saturn and Neptune have been together in Aries since, like, I don't know, 555 AD, or I mean, it's been a long time since they've been there together, because one's a 30-year cycle, one's a 160 something cycle. They don't come together in Aries that often. Rare, super amazing. Plus, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I just want to, for people who are like, this is all like, ah, what are you talking about? So I just, what I feel, it's like a crossroads. It's like we really have a direction. It's like that Saturn, everything that's happening with Saturn opposing all of like this potential deliciousness happening with Cancer and all of that. Am I getting that right? So it's kind of like a.
What I see is, well, because they're in a 90-degree angle or square to each other, which is a very active, dynamic aspect. Saturn and Neptune in Aries. Aries is all about action. Saturn is about taking the kind of action that creates constructs or structures that are sustainable and work for long periods of time and get results. And then Neptune tends to be the formless, the dreaming energy, the field of all possibilities. So how are we tapping into the field of all possibilities to create a form that works for the greater reality? And Cancer would say, and where we get to feel safe and be who we are.
I love that. And then Jupiter is expanding all of the possibilities of that. Is that
I think Neptune too is like the visions and the dreams of that are possible. When you're like, we tap into that dream aspect, anything can happen, anything is possible. And Jupiter is a planet we can see, so is Saturn. But Neptune, we can't see, and it really is more in the celestial world. It's like, cosmically celestial, universal source energy, whatever you want to refer to it as. But it could also be illusions, delusions.
Which is interesting, one of the cards I pulled. So it feels like a very good time for vision quests. Feels like the veil will be th very thin and very electric. So
Absolutely.
back to our aunt's conversation. So coming together in groups maybe around, thinking like Martin Luther King, like creating a new dream, a new vision again of
And
equity,
dreaming,
equality.
we can dream our individual dreams, but dreaming dreams together for a world that works for everyone and not just
Everyone.
you, that's our opportunity, I feel, at this time. And that when we do it together, whoa, it can happen way faster and a
Way
much,
faster.
yes, and a much more sustainable way. So I think that's our opportunity coming up. So I'm wondering what the cards have to say about this.
Well, yeah, and it also feels like for people who do ritual, begin thinking about the rituals leading up to that point. So I already told you, we have our call before the call that I'm in ritual all this week, capitalizing on this new moon energy because I have a Gemini moon and Mercury in Libra. So I'm just like, I want to, really utilize this energy. So it feels like this is another opportunity for folks who do ritual to really do ritual all the way up to that point. Maybe for solo people, solo, 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 but then when we get to that solstice coming together in community and doing that work.
Yes, and right prior to the solstice, we have the Sagittarius full moon, and that's the vision quest full moon. It's time to do the vision quest, like you were saying, and to really open to that space. And so we might want to do our individual vision quest, and then ask for the greater, more collective vision that we can work together. We can imagine and be maybe working with other people in community. Around, because of course, Cancer is about family and community.
Well, that full moon. So I think that what I'll pull on, because we were talking about what we've forgotten. And so I feel like that full moon in Sag, it could be like what do we need to release around that? What have we forgotten that we might need to release around that? I think that feels like.
Beautiful. I love that.
Okay, so what we've forgotten. Oh, by the way, this is my friend Amy Miranda's deck, What We've Forgotten. It also has a huge, I don't know, 200 or 300 page book that goes with this deck. So I've been using it a lot. around what we've forgotten.
And some would say we've been in a great forgetting and now we're coming into a great remembering. So it's good to look at what we have forgotten so we can begin to remember and then go from there.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I got four cards, so I'm going to read four cards. So the first thing I got was the prophet, what we've forgotten, and I got the prophet.
Beautiful.
This, I'm feeling like our internal, wow. Oh my God. So I got the hangman here. So the prophet within us, obviously, as we're talking about sort of what we've forgotten. And the message here is, going into that hangman energy, zooming out, 5,500 foot view to see how this forgetting has impacted us. And we also get the hermit, which again is a solitary path of remembering and, finding the light, finding out how to light our own way. And it's interesting because there's light, he's got, or they've got the light, and they've got the light, right? So there is
Ah, beautiful.
divine light, and as does this person right here.
Yes, wow.
So I feel like
And a
it's
light shining right on the face of the prophet, also.
100%, and also around the throat chakra, right?
Also around
So
the chakra,
it's
yes.
like forgetting the inner prophet within us. And this is card number 36. So we would reduce that to a nine for numerology. Again, a spiritual number, the end of a cycle. And so perhaps it's like this is like the end of like forgetting that we are the prophet, that we have all of the answers within us. We just need to zoom out and go on that solitary spiritual journey. Or maybe even, this can also be a card of needing to look deeper, and
And
doing
what's the
internal
prophecy
work.
we, if we if we're the prophets, what's the prophecy we want to visualize, vision into, and then make come true? Because a successful prophecy, if it's a positive one, happens because it gets fulfilled. A successful prophecy, if it's a negative one, is successful if it doesn't get fulfilled because people paid attention to that prophecy and took different actions so that the negative prophecy didn't come true.
Yes. So the other thing about what we forgot, which this makes sense, right? If we've forgotten our path, our divine path, we have gifts in reverse, right? I'm showing it in the upright, but it was gifts in reverse. So we've forgotten our own gifts and talents and magic. We've forgotten how to walk through portals. Again, this all makes sense.
Yes.
It's like
And
we
if we think about the solstice, the sun being on the galactic cross is a powerful portal.
Yep.
So how do we walk through that portal to get the most out of this time coming up? I love that.
Last card we have here is our sacred knowledge. So how do we walk through that portal? How do we follow our inner light, our inner guidance, tapping into our gifts so we can recognize the portals that are all around us and access the sacred knowledge that we've forgotten that lives within? So the remedy, again, zooming out, looking at things from a different perspective, tapping into your own divine wisdom as remedies. And we also have smoke here, the alchemical work that needs to be done. So this card is about illusions and delusions. Could this be the lower octave of Neptune?
Yes.
Getting lost in the fog?
Yes. And I would say a lot of people are lost in the fog and believe things that may or may not be true at this time. And so what's our opportunity to see through those illusions and delusions
Mm-hmm.
and have a new perspective?
So it says the keywords are smoldering, warning, illusion. Smoke is a tantalizing phenomenon, stealth-like and seductive. It swirls and twists, rising and disappearing. It travels great lengths with its signature scent, warning of a flame somewhere in life's laboratory. Such is the nature of the smoke card. When present, the senses are aroused and enticed. Yet the warning of fire cannot be ignored. What kind of smoke is it? Was the fire intended? A ritual or an accident? Does the smoke carry notes of incense and herbs, or is it laced with fear-stricken scent of destruction? The smoke card asks us to wake up, to become alert to what is happening around us. Something burns. Those around you may fall under smoke's seduction, or they may flee in a panic. Don't get distracted by their response. Stay in your own laboratory and see what emerges as you study the smoldering veil. And we talked about the veil being thin. And the outcome of that work, the outcome of that deep exploration, is the Three of Pentacles. So back to community, back to collaboration. Pentacles is resources. As we said, finding something that works for everyone, not just us.
Or a few other people that are somehow th thinking they're at the top of the pyramid and everybody else is below them.
This is the goal.
Beautiful.
And not paying attention, like they said, like not paying attention to the Seven of Swords, not getting caught up in like the nonsense, right? The lying, the deceit. If people, just like it said with smoke, if people are getting involved with all of that, let it go. Let it go. You know, don't pay attention to it. Get in your boat, Six of Swords in reverse. Get in your boat and sail away.
And question everything. It's like everything that we're being told may or may not be true. We're questioning it and we're going, what would be another perspective on this? To see that what's going on, yes, the hanged man is getting another perspective. And the hermit too, I imagine.
Yeah,
Yes. Love that.
because you might have to separate yourself from people, places, and things while you're on this, again, on this hangman journey, on your search for sacred knowledge.
Right.
Nobody
And
can do that
disruption of
for you.
the old, we have to disrupt the old to get to the new. Without the disruption, we don't get there. So I think what we're seeing on the world stage is a lot of disruption, and it has a bigger purpose than maybe what we've thought about. It's that trickster energy. So Gemini.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because this is just sitting here, top of the deck. Adjustments are required.
Yeah, there you go.
So things had to fall apart because, yeah, adjustments are required. Up 100%.
I love that quarter moon too.
Yeah, third quarter moon. Yeah, that's what I got.
There, that is awesome. So just to kind of wrap this up, it's like we're coming into this super powerful, we're already in a super powerful 2025 is like nothing I've ever seen. And I've been doing this since 1990. So 20, 35 years, I've been paying attention to these things, and I have never seen anything like this, what's happening this year. And this solstice is amazing. And the time leading up to the solstice is amazing. So we have an opportunity to be aware, to work with the imagery that Zoe has shared with us. Yay. Anything you want, how do you want to like sort of sum it up
I
for
do.
us?
Because I feel like it's the world stage and it's the personal stage, right? So for me, this full moon in Sag, this question is, you know, what adjustments need to be required? Asking spirit, the energy, whatever people work with, show me what adjustments need to be required. What do I need to be zooming out on? What wisdom am I missing? And ask for it to come with peace and ease.
And a way that you can actually understand, because sometimes messages show up and I'm like, I'm not really so I've learned to ask like, could you just send me the message in a way I can understand?
I'm like, send it in a song, Send
Bye.
it a dream, send it in a commercial, like, yeah, send it in a way that I know that
Whatever,
it's
in a
coming
way
from you.
that's clear and not ambiguous.
Absolutely.
Unlike the Oracle of Delphi, who would give her prophecies and her oracle messages in ways that were very obscure,
Yeah.
and a lot of times people couldn't figure out what they were until actually the thing had already happened, and
Yeah.
then back and go, oh, that's what she meant. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Beautiful.
All
All right.
right.
Well, hopefully this is helpful to everyone. Check out the show notes for additional links. And also, Zoe has a podcast. I'm going to be part of that, so we might add that link to
We can.
to this video. Of course, that probably won't be till later because the podcast is out till June 24th. But whatever.
We can add it after it airs, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, excellent. So here's to the magic that's possible, to the great awakening after we've been through the great forgetting that's taking place, and hopefully this is helpful in supporting us in all remembering more of who we really are. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.